2. Until 2015, the Flint County Courthouse had stood next to the Flint County Jail, which was convenient. Prisoners up for arraignment were simply led from one gothic heap of stones to the other, like overgrown children going on a field trip, except, of course, kids going on field trips were rarely handcuffed. Now, a half-constructed civic center stood next door, and prisoners had to be transported 6 blocks to the new courthouse, a 9-story glass box that Wags had dubbed the chicken coop. At the curb in front of the jail, waiting to make the trip, 2 police cars with flashing lights, a short blue bus, and Howie's gleaming black SUV. Standing on the sidewalk next to the ladder and looking like a chauffeur in his dark suit and darker shades was Alec Pelley. On the other side of the street, behind police department sawhorses, were the reporters, the camera persons, and a small crowd of looky-loos. Several of the latter were carrying signs. One read, "Execute the child killer." Another read, "Maitland, you will burn in hell." Marcy stopped on the top step and stared at these signs with dismay. The county jail corrections officers halted at the foot of the steps, their job done. Sheriff Doolin and ADA Gilstrap, the men technically in charge of this morning's legal ritual, escorted Terry to the lead police car. Ralph and Unell Sablo headed for the one behind. Howie took Marcy's hand and led her to his Escalade. "Don't look up. Don't give the photographers anything but the top of your head."
"Those signs. Howie, those signs."
"Never mind them. Just keep moving."
Because of the heat, the windows of the blue bus were open.
The prisoners inside, most of them weekend warriors bound for their own arraignments on an array of lesser charges, caught sight of Terry. They pressed their faces against the wire mesh, catcalling.
"Hey, faggot!
Did you bend your dick getting it in?
You're bound for the needle, Maitland.
Did you suck his cock before you bit it off?"
Alec started around the Escalade to open the passenger door, but Howie shook his head, motioned him back, and pointed to the rear door on the curbside instead. He wanted to keep Marcy as far as possible from the crowd across the street. Her head was lowered and her hair obscured her face, but as Howie led her to the door Alec was holding open, he could hear her sobbing, even in the general tumult.
"Mrs. Maitland!"
That was a leather-lunged reporter calling from beyond the sawhorse barricade.
"Did he tell you he was going to do it? Did you try to stop him?"
"Don't look up, don't respond," Howie said. He wished he could tell her not to listen. "This is all under control. Just get in and off we go." As he handed her in, Alec murmured in his ear,
"Beautiful, isn't it? Half the city police are on vacation, and FC's fearless sheriff can barely manage crowd control at the Elks barbecue."
"Just get us there," Howie said. "I'll ride in back with Marcy." Once Alec was behind the wheel and all the doors were closed, the yells from the crowd and the bus were muted. Ahead of the Escalade, the police cars and the blue bus were pulling out, moving as slowly as a funeral cortege. Alec fell into line. Howie could see the reporter sprinting up the sidewalk, oblivious of the heat, just wanting to be at the chicken coop when Terry arrived. The TV trucks would already be there, parked nose to tail like a herd of grazing mastodons.
"They hate him,"
Marcy said. The little eye makeup she had put on, mostly to hide the bags beneath them, had run, giving her a raccoon-like aspect.
"He never did anything but good for this town, and they all hate him."
"That will change when the grand jury refuses to indict," Howie said. "And they will. I know it, and Samuels knows it too."
"Are you sure?"
"I am. In some cases, Marcy, you have to struggle to find even one reasonable doubt. This case is made of them. No way can the grand jury indict."
"That isn't what I meant. Are you sure that people will change their minds?"
"Of course they will." In the rearview mirror, he saw Alec grimace at that. But sometimes a lie was necessary, and this was one of those times. Until the real killer of Frank Peterson was found, if he ever was, the people of Flint City were going to believe that Terry Maitland had gamed the system and gotten away with murder. They would treat him accordingly. But for now, all Howie could do was focus on the arraignment.